Now, as we continue on, I've got to be fair to Jonathan Cahn. He did not say absolutely it was going to happen. He said it could happen. But, however, it depends on how you look at the emphasis. If you emphasize it heavy, even though you say it may not happen and I'm not setting dates, or it could happen, but if you emphasize it really, really heavy, then you're going to believe that, yes, it's going to happen. Anybody remember 72? Okay. We didn't flee to Petra. Okay.
Well, if you're like, it could, yeah, it could or could not.
That's right. Okay.
Right, no matter if I'm...
Yeah. Okay. Here's quite an interesting thing. A fellow Jew wrote, why didn't the Shemitah work? And he said, because if you follow the pattern in Jeremiah, they were warned about the killing of the babies, warned about the Sabbath, and when it came time to release the slaves, that is the Hebrew slaves, they did not send them out the way God said to send them out. Here, come to Deuteronomy 15 will show you how that they were to send the Hebrew slaves out. They just released them, so they had no other recourse than to come back and work for their masters. It's not like in today's society. Okay? All right. This has to do with the poor. It also has to do with and the poor and the seventh year release. Okay? Let's pick it up. Deuteronomy 15. And verse 7, if there is among you a poor man, one of your brothers, inside any of your gates in your land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and shall surely lend him enough for his need for which he lacks, that he lacks. Beware that there is not a thought in your wicked heart saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye may be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he may cry to the Lord against you, and it is a sin to you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord will bless you in all your works and in all you put your hand to. And the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to your poor, and to your needy in the land, that it talks about the slave. You shall let him go. You shall not send, he shall not go empty. Verse 13. You shall liberally bestow upon him from your flock and from your grain floor, from your wine press, with what the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. And they didn't do that in Jeremiah 34. Okay. Then he brings out something very interesting concerning debt in relationship to the seven-year cycle. But nothing can be compared to the outright debt binge of the modern era. We as a nation have literally annulled any idea of real debt satisfaction, okay? And just perpetual debt. Now then, that's why it's going to collapse. But they are manipulating it. What needs to happen everywhere all at once? All currencies fail at one time. All stock markets fail at one time. Now, when that happens, the super elite, I believe, so I'm going to ring my cowbell, since they bought all their gold back at a cheap price and made a lot of money, okay, and they made money on all of the stock markets going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, that they will have a gigantic reserve in digital money and gold and silver so that they can give backing for a new world currency which will be a forerunner of the mark of the beast. So when they're ready to do it, it will be everywhere all at once. Now when that date comes, We don't know. So let's look for the events, all right? Now, little sidebar here for all of you politicians. Carl Franklin sent this to me. Thought you would like to know that Donald Trump's ancestry can be traced back to his through his Scottish mother, maiden name MacLeod, to John of Gaunt, son of Edward III, King of England, 1327 to 1377. This means that Donald Trump and Thomas Jefferson share the same grandfather, thus making them first cousins. This was reported a few days ago on a British paper, the Daily Mail, and he says, isn't it amazing how God works things out in history? We'll see what happens, okay? Now, let's look at some other things concerning the central banks and what'll happen, okay? Here is one here. Doomsday clock for a global market crash strikes 1 minute to midnight as central banks lose control. The Fed has not lost control yet, okay? Matter of fact, they're controlling everything between London, Washington, and Switzerland, Basel, Switzerland, where the Bank of International Settlements is. But the debt will take it down. Okay? Fed no longer the center of financial universe. It still is. Now, here's one on China. China will have a bigger collapse because they have so much debt. And this is written by a Chinese analyst. Okay, another little sidebar. Good news for the wicked, okay? Now, years ago, we saw this one video where the Jews, for atonement, they buy a white chicken, okay? And then they whirl it around over their head. And that's supposed to bring them atonement. Well, they're short of white chickens, okay? And the message for the modern-day indulgence table set up outside Jerusalem supermarket, the sign says, Redemption Atonement. The ultra-Orthodox Jews manning the table told me that a rabbi he works for could redeem me from my sins. All I had to do was write down my name, the nature of my sin, and agree to make an effort to stop sinning, and last but not least, pay 26 shekels or $7. He told me that in the old days, people would buy a chicken that the rabbi would slaughter and give the meat to the poor in exchange for redemption, but now the chickens are too much trouble, so they just take cash. Now, there have been a lot of conflicts, speaking of the temple, on the Temple Mount. And so the Jews are going to have to come up with where the temple will be. Okay? Then here's one. Christians are to be banned from holding many jobs in America in the future. Corporations on attack against Christians. Here's the one I mentioned about homosexuality in the college. Okay. How many saw that latest ad by Carly Fiorino? Nobody saw that? Yes. On abortion. And it shows an actual five-month baby. And we'll see where all of this is going to go. Okay. Now, let's look at another thing that is developing. Come here to Luke 21. Luke 21. This has to do with the Russians moving troops into Syria. Okay. Okay, Luke 21 and verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, now this is just a start. I highly doubt whether the Russians will withdraw any of their troops out of Syria. They are there to stay. Now, what other kind of response this is going to be from other nations, we don't know. You see it surrounded by armies, then know that her desolation has drawn near. So they may be even willing to put in ground forces. So we'll see what happens there. Okay? All right. Control of human beings. Here's an article. Injected electronics, the next wave of wearable technology. Picture of it. Okay? Now, transhumanism and all of that is coming along, and this is part of it. Now, they've also figured how they can use sound waves to control brain cells. And remember how many times we have discussed concerning the mark of the beast, that it is for control. And to know where you are, who you're with, what you're doing, and as much as possible, what you're thinking. Okay? So we are living in difficult times indeed. All right. Now, let's come to 2 John, the epistle of 2 John. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of religious revival is going to come along. And also it's going to be interesting to see how it's going to affect the churches of God and what we need to be doing. Now remember here in 1 John, just come back here for just a minute, 1 John the 2nd chapter, it says, okay, verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and that was true for the apostolic era. It was the last time. And just as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have risen up, by which you know that it is the last time. They went out from among us, but they were not of us, because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have remained with us. Nevertheless, they left so that they might be exposed to show that they were not, that they all were not of us. Okay? And that was leading up to the church being reorganized right after John died, starting with Ignatius, whose job was to get all the Christians out of the homes and into churches where they could be controlled. And this is where Sunday keeping really started to take hold. And this continued for about 300 years. So if you want to do an interesting search, find out about Chrysostom and all of his sermons against those Christians who were observing Jewish festivals. So the true Christians were still holding fast to what they should do. Now back to 2 John. Now there's a lot that we can learn from this and why we need to understand what we need to do and how we need to do it. The elder to the chosen lady. Now this is couched in his terms, so they wouldn't know exactly who this was going to. And her children whom I love in the truth. Now we need to focus on the truth, because that is the key. Remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is true. The commandments are true. All the precepts of God are true. The gospel is true. Whom I love in truth, and not I alone, but also all those who have known the truth. And for the sake of the truth, look at that, 1, 2, 3 times within two sentences, that is dwelling in us and shall be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace shall be with us from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now he's emphasizing this as key things we need to focus on. Now, why? Because we are told, just go back right here, 1 John 5, okay? 1 John 5 and verse 19. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. So just like Satan was going after the first century church, everything has been set in place for the mechanisms to start coming after the true church of God again today. Verse 4, I rejoice exceedingly that I have found your children, those who are walking in truth. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times right there. Exactly as we receive commandment from the Father. And that commandment came through Christ, because Christ taught everything the Father told him to teach. Now I beseech you, lady, not as though I'm writing a new commandment to you, but that which we have observed from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is the love of God, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is where we need to really stay close to God, spiritually in prayer and in study and in what we do. And it struck me, just listening to that report about what was happening in the Catholic Church and how there are some things of revival, it was stated that they are reviving all the traditions. And I thought, man, isn't that something? When here the churches of God need to stick with the commandments of God and the love of God, not the adoration of a man who sits in the place of God, according to his commandment. Now continuing verse 6, this is the commandment exactly as you heard from the beginning, that you might walk in it. See? So if Jesus is the way, which he is, and the truth, which he is, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you put all of these scriptures together, so you have all of these things in mind as we battle the world as it is today. Okay? Because many deceivers have entered into the world, and those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the spirit of the deceiver, an Antichrist. All right? Hold your place here and come back to Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8. Let's pick it up in verse 11. Isaiah 8 and verse 11. There are some things that are prophesied right down to our day today. Isaiah 8 and verse 11. Okay? Isaiah 8 and verse 11. For thus the Lord spoke to me with a strong hand. Isn't that interesting? Spoke to him with a strong hand. Now, how do you do that? Okay. And warned me against walking in the way of the people, saying, do not say a conspiracy to everything of which this people say, a conspiracy, and do not fear their fear, nor be afraid. The Lord of hosts, him shall you sanctify, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be a sanctuary for you, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, both to both the houses of Israel, and for a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. Now that's a prophecy of the New Testament. In other words, canonize it, finish it, and seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will trust in him. Now, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me. And that's what Jesus is going to say when we're presented to the Father. Are for signs and wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they shall say to you, seek unto them who have familiar spirits and wizards. This is all about the Christianity of this world through Catholicism and the rest of the other religions of the world, who peep and mutter. But should not a people seek unto their God? Should the dead be sought on behalf of the living? And that's what they do. And look what purgatory is. You're praying for the dead who are there roasting slightly, not enough to burn up. Okay? The answer is this, verse 20, to the law and the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, you'll know them by their fruits and by their words. It is because there is no light in them. All right, while we're here, let's take a look at the liberals. Let's come to Isaiah 32. This fits into it as well. Okay? Isaiah 32 and verse 5. 32 and 5. The vile one shall no more be called liberal. Man, you could take that very literal today, couldn't you? Nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the vile will speak folly, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, to speak error against the Lord, and to make the soul of the hungry empty, and to take away the drink of the thirsty. Also, the weapons of the vile, are evil. He thinks of wicked things to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks right. But the liberal thinks liberal things, and by liberal things he shall stand, and meaning he shall fall. Those all impact on what we're covering back here in 2 John. And so how do we weather this complete spiritual storm that is coming? I mean, look at how many of those who have already been killed for Christ over in the Middle East. Thousands of them. Well, that being the case, you know it's going to be coming here. All right? Now, 2 John, verse 8. Watch out for yourselves. That's what we need to do. Not only love God, love each other, but watch out for yourselves that you don't get snared. Watch out for yourselves in order that you may not lose the things we have accomplished, but that we may receive a full reward. Then he describes what he's talking about here. Verse 9. Anyone who transgresses and does not continue in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now, that's pretty strong. This is why we can say with full assurance that things like Catholicism are absolutely not of God. Okay, continuing here. But the one who continues in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Come back here to 1 John 2 and verse 21. 1 John 2:21. I did not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and you understand that not one lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar if it is not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either, which tells us what? You don't have salvation. Therefore, what you have heard from the beginning, let what you have heard from the beginning dwell in you. If what you heard from the beginning is dwelling in you, then you shall be dwelling in the Son and in the Father. Notice you must have both. Now you can go back and read in John 14 that Jesus said that if you love him, the Father, and keep his commandments, the Father will love you, and we will come to you and make our abode in you. So as I've covered the two parts of the Holy Spirit, so here we see it in both of these epistles and how important it is in times of trouble. All right, verse 9 again, the last half. But the one who continues in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine or any other doctrine, any other tradition, any other sin, do not receive him into your home and do not say to him, welcome. For anyone who says welcome to him is partaking in his evil deeds. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to convey these to you with paper and ink, lest someone get it. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face in order that our joy may be completely full. The children of your chosen sister salute you. Amen. Okay. Now we're also told that at the end time, here are those who have the faith of Jesus Christ and keep his commandments. So when we look out there and see all of these things going on, don't get discouraged. Don't get downhearted. Just realize, stay close to God, follow the Word of God, and use the Word of God to keep yourself in Christ and God the Father. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.